Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mary Washington Healthcare and the fifth Light Up a Life Illumination are focused this morning. We've got a lot to talk about. Dr. Adam Knudsen is with us from Mary Washington Healthcare. Dr. Knudsen, it's great to meet you. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
A little bit about you first. What are some of the areas that you deal in focusing yourself as a doctor with Mary Washington Healthcare?
Sure. So I am the Hospice Medical Director for Mary Washington Healthcare Hospice Services. And so we take care of patients who are nearing the end of life. Those who qualify for hospice services are patients who have an estimated prognosis of 6 months or less to live. And so that's our area of focus.
I have heard from a number of families that have dealt with Mary Washington Hospice and just heard just such great things about what you all do in really difficult times.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. It's always nice to hear positive feedback. And yeah, it's not always an easy time, but it's a rewarding experience for us to be involved in patients' life in those moments and to help support both the patients as well as their family members during that difficult time.
The Light Up a Life Illumination. It's a virtual event. It'll take place on the 17th November 17th from 6 to 7, but it is virtual. This is a really powerful event every year.
That's right. It's a fundraiser event for us. We are a non-for-profit hospice, and so some of our additional services that many other hospices might not have, this event helps support.
Mm-hmm.
It is, as you mentioned, a virtual event, so it'll be streamed live on Facebook on November 17th, and people can purchase luminaries, electric candles,
yeah,
to commemorate the loss of a loved one, whether they've been on our services in the past or whether they passed away without Mary Washington Hospice Services. It's still a way to commemorate loved ones who have passed on.
It is. It's a great remembrance, and I've always thought that just and even the time, November 17th, right before the holidays, right before Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it is a chance to really remember loved ones that are no longer here.
That's right. Yeah, the holidays are often a difficult time for family members who have lost someone close to them, and this gives them an opportunity to remember and honor those individuals.
So if you want to get a luminary, I guess the best way is what to lightalife.mwhc.com. Go to that website. Is that the best way to get involved in all of this?
Yeah, luminaries are available for $25, and they can be purchased along with other additional sponsorships if desired. Can be purchased directly from the website lightupalife.mwhc.com.
There, and like you say, there are various levels of sponsorships here, with $100, $500, $1,000, $2,000. Like you said, this is Mary Washington Hospice is much different than most, just because of the nonprofit status. This is a way to be able to give into the community.
Yeah, and we've been very appreciative and thankful for the community members and community organizations who have purchased those sponsorships in the past, and we're hoping to see a similar level of support again this year.
I just know that seeing this the years that you've done it, it really is special. And I'm sure for those of you who work in hospice and who recognize some of those names, this is a powerful moment.
Yeah, this is the fifth year that we've done this event, and it's always a very powerful and touching evening. Commemorating those that have passed on. Often they're patients, former patients of ours. Like I said, it's not always, it's not a requirement to purchase a luminary, but often they are purchased in honor of patients that are known to us, and so it makes it that much more powerful of an event.
So again, this is an event, especially, you know, it's November 17th. It is virtual. It is the Light Up a Life Illumination. It is a Facebook virtual event. lightalife.mwhc.com. If you need more information about hospice at Mary Washington Healthcare, hospice.mwhc.com. And we will get into all of that this morning with Dr. Adam Knutson. He is here this morning, and we will continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
The Light Up a Life Illumination at Mary Washington Healthcare, Mary Washington Healthcare Hospice, that is doing virtually on November 17th from 6 to 7. That's our focus this morning with Dr. Adam Knutson. And just a quick update, it is lightupalife.mwhc.com. I gave you the wrong address a second ago. lightupalife.mwhc.com. To get a luminary and find out more of how you can get involved. Dr. Adam Knutson from Mary Washington Hospice here this morning. How'd you get involved with hospice and in this type of care?
So I completed a fellowship training in hospice and palliative care. It's a combined fellowship. It's 1 year of additional training beyond my initial specialty training in medicine. And my journey to my career in hospice really started early in my medical career during residency. My background is in internal medicine. And during my residency training, we spend rotations in all sorts of specialties, but I had been spending a lot of time in the ICU.
Okay.
Initially, I thought that's where my career might take me. And in talking to some of my mentors during my residency training, picking my brain to figure out what it was about the ICU that I found most interesting or inspiring, mm-hmm. I had mentioned to my mentors several patient experiences where one of the most rewarding things about my experiences in the ICU was helping patients, or sometimes for those patients who couldn't speak for themselves, their family members, navigate those difficult conversations and difficult decisions, figuring out what's important to a patient, what really gives their patient's life meaning, and how much they would or would not be willing to go through, especially if that meant a quality of life that they might find unacceptable, if there even were any ability to have some amount of recovery from their condition in the ICU. And so those experiences, while, you know, of course they're not necessarily happy experiences or something that people find to be positive or uplifting, I did find them really rewarding. And mentioning those motivations to my mentors, they said, have you thought about hospice or palliative care? Because it really sounds like that's what you're describing.
Huh.
And so that's what set me on the path to, after completing my internal medicine training, going on to do a 1 year hospice and palliative medicine fellowship. And as I mentioned, it's a combined training. And so even during that 1 year, I kind of struggled trying to decide whether I wanted my career to focus more on the palliative care aspect or the hospice end of the spectrum. And after a few more weeks or months in hospice services during that year of training, I really found that was the area of specialization that I wanted to spend most of my career in.
Interesting that mentors, it shows the importance of having mentors at that point to sort of direct you in a way that they sensed.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly had never really heard much about palliative care. I mean, I had, of course, heard of it, but I didn't know a whole lot about it at that time early in my medical training. And so, it really took that mentorship to kind of draw that out of me and really set me on the path that I'm really thankful for, those mentors, because, you know, this is, like I said, this is a career that I find really fulfilling and rewarding. So I'm happy and thankful for those mentors for setting me on this path.
We're thankful too in this area that we've got you. So Dr. Knudsen, what is the difference between palliative care and in hospice? I think I know, but I think I'll let you explain it.
I'm really glad you asked, because not everybody knows. People often confuse the two,
right.
and honestly, even some in the medical community who don't interact with hospice or palliative on a regular basis may confuse the two. So I'm really glad you asked. Hospice, as I mentioned or alluded to in talking about the Light Up a Life event, is for patients who have an estimated prognosis of 6 months or less to live, which means that they have some sort of terminal condition, not expected to get better. And it's also for patients who choose to focus on comfort and quality of life in those final months.
Okay.
Whereas palliative care is similar, but there's a few key, really important differences in that patients may have a life-limiting illness, but may not be in those end stages. So what I mean by that is a patient with cancer that may still be curable may still benefit from palliative care support as well, or a patient with heart failure or COPD or, emphysema that's really advanced, causing symptoms and also warranting those discussions that I mentioned about what is important to you, how much would you be willing to go through or not go through if things got worse. Both the symptom management as well as those goals of care discussions are things that palliative care can help support and guide patients through, regardless of whether their condition might get a little better, or in the case of cancer may even be cured. So they don't need that terminal prognosis in order to access palliative care. Palliative care can help support symptoms during that journey and also help with those conversations about what matters most to the patient, to help really improve the quality of medical care and quality of the symptoms that they're experiencing during the course of their illness.
That's one of the best explanations that I've heard, because I have sometimes I've heard explanations and at the end I've thought, boy, they just sound so similar. But there are some really important distinctions between the two.
Yeah, and there's one more key distinction that I forgot to mention, and that's hospice is also really an insurance benefit. And so there's some additional, sometimes headaches, but sometimes it's a positive side of thing that being an insurance benefit brings. So, of course, there are enrollment forms, consent forms to enroll in hospice services, but it also then means that, especially for patients with Medicare, which is the majority of patients who are needing hospice services, the hospice benefit then covers essentially the entirety of that patient's care related to their terminal illness.
Okay.
Whereas palliative care is a specialty just like any other doctor's office that you might go to, a cardiologist or a pulmonologist. The insurance will cover palliative care the same way, in that, it's just another specialty that you're going to. So there's no really any extra steps needed in order to access palliative care in that way.
This probably could be a different a topic for its own show and then some. But I liked when you talked about, you're dealing a lot of times with patients who can't speak for themselves, and it just made me the thought came up. You hope that those families have had some of these discussions, because I think it probably makes it easier for you if they have had those discussions. If they hadn't, I'm sure that there's just a lot of gray areas, and you try to figure it. It's hard to figure out at the time.
Absolutely. So it can get very complicated very quickly if patients have not filled out a medical advance directive that both in most cases will outline what the patient's medical wishes are. And if it doesn't quite do that explicitly, it'll at least name who are the people that a patient would want to make medical decisions for them on their behalf if the patient is no longer able to speak for themselves. And that is incredibly helpful, especially in the hospital when people are sicker than they have been, may not be able to speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. That advanced directive, letting the medical team know this is the person that I want you to reach out to, because it may be very different than what the law in the state of Virginia or any other state outlines. You know, in the absence of that paperwork, the law does dictate this is the order of people who have the right to make medical decisions for a person, but everybody's family looks different. So a patient may be estranged from their parent or from their children, who would otherwise be the legal decision makers in the absence of that paperwork. It may be that they have a significant other who they have a very long relationship with, but have never been married. And if they're not a legal spouse, that also puts hurdles and barriers into that medical decision-making process. And so that medical power of attorney paperwork can be very helpful in ensuring that if something happens to you, you know that the medical team is going to be reaching out to the people that you trust and hopefully have had those conversations with about what you would or would not want in if you were in a critical condition or nearing the end of life.
And so often, I'm sure you see this all the time, and probably at least weekly, of where you don't have the time. Suddenly, it's just for whatever reason, decisions have to be made, and they need to be made quickly, and that's where you hope that some of this has been worked out to some level at least.
Right. Yeah. It certainly, having that medical advance directive helps avoid situations where the medical team is reaching out to the wrong person because that's the only contact info they have, only to then later learn the patient's parent or sibling or somebody higher up in the hierarchy other than the contact info that they have at the time is in the picture, that they are available, and that we really need to be reaching out to them instead. It can complicate things quite a bit, especially if the medical team had been talking to one person and suddenly, you know, learn new information and say, sorry, we actually legally have to talk to this other person instead. That can certainly strain the relationships that had already been built as well in the care of the patient.
For families that do want to make a move on this or talk about it, are there places you can get forms either online or through Mary Washington Healthcare? Are there other places to get information on what, especially in Virginia, would be acceptable?
Yeah, so there are a number of different resources. The state of Virginia does have kind of a standard legalese form. One resource that I like to point patients or family members to is a website called Prepare for Your Care. That is a website out of, I believe it's the University of California system, but they've taken the important pieces of an advanced directive, put it in really simple language, bold print, easy to understand. Uh-huh. It explains what an advanced directive is. It also walks through some of the more advanced medical care or quote-unquote aggressive medical care to consider as far as if you may or may not want those things if you were in the ICU or nearing the end of life. And then it outlines all of the other things that we've talked about. Who are the decision makers? What are the things that matter most to you? What gives you meaning or what makes life worth living, and what sort of things would you want or not want at the end of life? I think it's a very good advanced directive, especially in delineating what might you want right now in your current state of health if something unexpected were to happen to you, or how might those values change if you had a terminal condition and your health was not as good as it is now. Because, of course, somebody's values, you know, my own included, might change in my current state of health versus if I had a terminal illness. Yeah. And most advanced directives don't really allow for that delineation. But this website, Prepare for Your Care, does allow a patient to make that distinction in terms of quantity versus quality of life in your current state of health. as well as if you were approaching the end of life.
Prepare for your care. Good information there. Dr. Adam Knudsen here from Mary Washington Healthcare and Hospice Services. Again, light up a life. The illumination is virtual. It is a November 17th, and you can get involved with that by going to the website, lightupalife.mwhc.com. lightupalife.mwhc.com to find out more information about hospice care, hospice.mwhc.com. Dr. Adam Knudsen here. We'll take a quick break and continue along this morning. Good stuff on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:29.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EP Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Chu.
Dr. Adam Knudsen in this morning from Mary Washington Healthcare. The fifth annual Light Up a Life Illumination is coming up, and you can get a luminary for that at lightupalife.mwhc.com. And we'll give you more information on that. Again, it's coming up in November, but you can jump on that and get a luminary for that. With Dr. Knudsen, we just finished talking about palliative care. As far as hospice goes, that's interesting, too, just in that, you know, a lot of times, and I've learned from talking to various doctors at Mary Washington Healthcare, when we all hear about someone has gone into hospice, generally that does mean the end of life, but not always.
Yeah, so it is, hospice services require somebody to have an estimated prognosis of 6 months or less to live. And so most patients are at the end of life and will pass away on our services. Not everybody, medical care and prognostication in particular is an inexact science. And so sometimes the doctors are wrong and a patient may appear to have 6 months or less, and then their health condition may improve. Sometimes patients end up staying on our services beyond the 6 months. If at that 6 month mark, the patient still appears from that point forward to have an estimated prognosis of 6 months or less, they don't have to get kicked off our services just because they had already been on for 6 months. If they still at that point going forward have 6 months or less expected because of their condition, they can remain on hospice services and be recertified for another benefit period. And in a small fraction, but definitely happens from time to time, patients may even what I call graduate from hospice services, where not only have they outlived the initial 6 month or less prognosis, but after that their condition even improves a little bit. Usually these conditions that got them into hospice services are still medical conditions that they will continue to deal with the rest of their life.
Okay.
But it may be that they, instead of having 6 months, have a year or two or more, depending on how much their condition has improved. And so if that pleasant surprise happens, they then graduate from hospice services. So just because hospice is involved, you know, does not have to be such a terrifying moment. It sure certainly is understandably, you know, unsettling for many patients or families, but hospice services are there to make whatever amount of time a patient has comfortable, meaningful, and try to maximize that quality of life that they have left.
I guess with what you do with hospice, it's different than many other things in the medical world, that you're dealing with you've got a team of people that are dealing with a number of different things at one time.
Yeah, that's right. It really is a team approach, which is unique compared to many other specialties within medicine. So the team includes myself as the hospice medical director, a nurse practitioner on staff as well. And then the majority of the work really is nursing driven. Nurses are visiting patients in the home or wherever they call home. at least weekly at Mary Washington Hospice, and sometimes even more frequent than that, depending on the medical need. There are nursing aid services available as well to help with bathing and hygiene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the common misconceptions is, unfortunately, hospice is not 24-hour care, but those nursing aides are available to come visit for an hour or so, just like the nurse's visits, to help with the weekly bathing or hygiene, okay, or whatever other needs a patient might have. So we talked about the nurses and the nursing aides. The hospice insurance benefit or the hospice regulations also require any hospice to also have a social worker to help either with the grief support, bereavement, preparing to assess a patient's bereavement needs or their family's bereavement needs, really, before a patient passes away. And that social worker can also help connect families with those other resources that might be needed, those additional caregiving services that may require, you know, private hire, out-of-pocket expense, but at least the social worker can provide a list of those resources. Mm-hmm. The social worker can help the patient or family navigate the rest of the medical bureaucracy in terms of figuring out, does a patient qualify for Medicaid to access additional resources? And that's something that the social worker can help navigate. You know, the patient still, of course, has to apply for that on their own, but the social worker can help navigate that world that may be totally foreign to a patient or family who never had to think about those additional resources before their 6 month or less prognosis and enrolling in hospice. And then the last piece that the insurance benefit requires is the hospice chaplain. So the chaplain is a required member of our team. People who may not be religious may kind of hesitate or pull back when they hear the word chaplain. But our chaplain is there to help support patients of any religion or no religion at all. So patients who may be spiritual but not subscribe to any particular religious belief, our chaplain can support them as well. And also agnostic or even atheist patients may benefit from talking to our chaplain, processing those kind of existential questions of what gives their life meaning or help reflect on what their life has been. Our chaplain can help guide those conversations as well and be there to help support the patient. So it really is a team approach. Our team is unique in that we also have a massage therapist on staff as well as a music therapist on staff. Those are, I think, what makes Mary Washington Hospice Services stand out compared to maybe some of the other for-profit hospice services where, you know, because that's not a required piece of hospice,
yeah,
according to the regulations, some of the for-profits may view that as more money that we have to spend that we don't get reimbursed, yeah, for. At Mary Washington, because we're not for-profit, we don't have to worry about kind of widening our margins as much as possible, and we're willing to invest in the massage therapist and the music therapist because we really think it provides such value and improves the patient's quality of life, especially those who are nearing the end of their life.
Hospice.mwhc.com if you want to find out more information. Hospice.mwhc.com. And I'm glad you mentioned that about the music therapy, the massage therapy, and those things, because I have heard from families that have talked about that and just how special that is. And that really is one of the things that you mentioned earlier, and I was going to come back to it, and you just did right there about how the fact that Mary Washington Hospice is nonprofit, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think, I through my career, have always worked for a non-for-profit hospice. To me, it just makes me a little squeamish to think about a for-profit,
yeah,
organization, especially when it comes to caring for patients at the end of their life. I realize that there are other specialties in medicine, fields of medicine, where you know, medicine, unfortunately, is also a business. And yes, you know, even a non-for-profit organization can't just ignore that money exists, but at least we don't have to kind of think about our relationships to our investors or whoever else may have a, mm-hmm, stake in the company and worry about maximizing profits when it comes to caring for patients at the end of life, it's really maximizing their quality of life and making that time meaningful to them, helping support their symptoms and helping keep a patient as comfortable as possible during those final moments. That's really what's important. And so I think a non-for-profit hospice allows the staff and the leadership of the hospice to really focus on those things and not have to worry so much about the bottom line as much as maybe a for-profit hospice might.
And as you talk about this, it as much as we and families don't want to hear the word hospice, it sounds like a lot of these whole team approach and the things that you provide, it is the kind of thing that you want to get if you can, or to get to early.
Yeah, it's not our role to really dictate when is the right moment for a patient to transition to hospice. As I mentioned when we talked about advanced care planning and advanced directives, that timing, everybody's values are different. And so the timing of hospice enrollment may also be different depending on the person. But when it comes to the limits of what modern medicine can do, I think the earlier a patient thinks about enrolling in hospice from the moment that they've reached those limits of what modern medicine can do, the more time the hospice team has to get to know the patient, get to know the family, support them better because we know them better. And also, when a patient enrolls in hospice earlier, maybe before their symptoms are severe, it also allows us to see their journey and how the symptoms evolve, rather than meeting a patient in the final days of their life when their symptoms are severe and we're trying to play catch up because we haven't been involved in the patient's care any sooner than that. So certainly it does not require a patient to be in the final days or weeks of life if that's what their values are. If we have an opportunity to be involved in the patient's care months before, that tends to lend itself to an even more positive experience on hospice.
Well, you must really get to know the families in some of these cases.
Yeah, our team absolutely does. It's definitely a team approach, and I would say the nurses and the nursing aides are probably the most intimately involved and get to know the patients and families the best. But absolutely, it tends to be a really personal time in the patients' lives and almost because of that situation, it really almost requires getting to know the patients that well.
I've known situations where Mary Washington Hospice has come in, and I've heard that when the loved one has passed, that they were the first to call, and that they knew what to do, and then what steps needed to be taken, and just for the family, they were so at peace because it had all been laid out. They knew what to do and who to call and who to contact.
Yeah, the goal is always to call hospice rather than to call 911. When a patient is on hospice services and passes away, and the goal is to allow them to pass away peacefully and not return to the hospital and be put on life support and all of those things, that tends to be the opposite of the goal of hospice. And so when a patient passes away, they call our team. Our team, whether it's the nurse or the social worker, will guide them through the next steps in contacting the funeral home that they've chosen and kind of guiding the rest of the necessary steps that a patient's family may not really have been aware of. If you haven't gone through that before, there tends to be a lot of, well, what do I do now? And our team is there to help with that.
Wow, you have to be a special person to be on this team. I will say that as you have discussed it, have talked about all of this, and especially just in this case where we're just talking about it, you're living it with actual families in the area. Thank you for what you do and in your team behind you.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Yeah, and it's definitely not for everybody, but those on our team are definitely called to this specialty of medicine. And we're there to really help support the families and the patients as much as we can during that difficult time.
And how lucky we are to have the option of Mary Washington Hospice, that just as you have described the nonprofit aspect, but just all that you're providing, and it just countless numbers of people in the community are impacted by this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think those additional services, the music therapist and the massage therapist, definitely help set us apart from other hospices in the area. It would be a mistake for me not to also mention our volunteers. The hospice benefit requires a certain percentage of quote-unquote work hours to be provided by volunteers for any hospice. And we really depend on our volunteers to really do those additional things that our day-to-day team, our nurses and our social workers really unfortunately can't spend the time to do to help with families. But our volunteers will do things like going to sit with a patient so that their spouse, who's their primary caregiver, can go out and run errands for an hour or so. Or for a patient who may not have any family members, sometimes our volunteers go and sit vigil at a nursing facility for a patient who's in their final moments. And there are a number of other things that our volunteers do as well, but our volunteers are a key piece of the team as well.
If someone wants to get involved with volunteer, just go to the hospice.mwhc.com website. That's the best way.
They can either call our office or go to the website hospice.mwhc.com and get more information there as well.
And I'm sure there's a huge need for volunteers, and I can think of a lot. I'm sure a lot of people that this just thought, as you talked about this being rewarding for you and your team members, this may be something that you want to consider to volunteer for.
Absolutely, we're always looking for volunteers. You know, even especially college students who may have volunteered in the past, but then but then move away. There's always some degree of turnover in our volunteers, so we're always looking. And our volunteer coordinator will provide volunteer training, because even our volunteers may not have necessarily experienced a patient nearing their end of life.
Yeah.
So there is training provided as well, but absolutely, the more information on our volunteer program can be found on our hospice website, hospice.mwhc.com.
Again, it's Mary Washington Hospice Services. The phone number, 540-741-3580, 540-741-3580, or hospice.mwhc.com. Dr. Adam Knudsen here with Mary Washington Hospice Services. He is the Hospice Medical Director. The Light Up a Life Illumination is coming up in November. When we come back, we'll wrap it up this morning and talk about getting a luminary for that and how you can get involved with that. And we'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Adam Knudsen in this morning with the Mary Washington Hospice Services. Light Up a Life, the Illumination is taking place November 17th. It is a virtual event, a Facebook virtual event, but really is a chance for you to get a luminary, Dr. Knudsen, with a loved one's name and names on it, and really honor that person, remember that person. I just think having it just before Thanksgiving, it's a holiday kind of thing too, that you can honor that, honor and remember that person.
Yeah, it's a really nice opportunity to honor and remember somebody that you've lost.
You can the luminary itself, I've lost my page that shows you, is it $25?
It is $25 to purchase a luminary. Yeah. It's an electric light, so it won't blow out.
Won't burn up the bag.
It's usually an outdoor event, so we want to make sure that the light stays on during the whole duration. But it is a really nice event, really to honor those that we've cared for and those that people in the community have lost as well.
To be just somebody, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who went through Mary Washington Hospice.
Exactly.
And if you want to get a luminary, if you want to sponsor, there are sponsorship levels. If you go to lightupalife.mwhc.com, you'll see all the different sponsorship level opportunities.
Yep, there's a number of different sponsorship levels. We're very thankful for the community organizations and businesses in the community that have sponsored in the past. All of that information can be found on the website for the various levels and amounts that the sponsorship levels require.
It's November 17th from 6 to 7. Again, it's a Facebook virtual event, but I know in the past I've tuned in and just watched it just because it really is the community in grieving in so many ways, and it's a great message that you're able to it's a place to grieve.
Yeah, last year was a virtual event as well, and in fact there were so many people like yourself that tuned in that the website actually crashed temporarily. We're making some changes this year, recording it slightly ahead of time so that it can be streamed afterwards, and we don't have to deal with the technology headaches that may occur like last year.
Yeah.
So, yep. But it's always nice that so many people tuned in that happened as well. It's a good problem to have.
It is, again, lightupalife.mwhc.com. That will get you information on all you need to know about getting the luminary and in doing the sponsorship. For volunteers, if you want to volunteer with Mary Washington Hospice Services, hospice.mwhc.com. And like you said, there is a need for it, and you'll be trained. It's not as though you're going to sign up and then all of a sudden get pushed into something.
That's right. Yeah, it's not for everybody. There are certain requirements, and all of that information can be found either on our website or through discussion with our volunteer coordinator as well.
And this is the kind of thing we don't want to think about hospice. We don't want to even talk about it. But talking about it as a family, talking about some of these things, and even getting up to date on what's available locally is an important thing. So when you do find yourself in a situation, if I'm sitting across from you, at least I can answer some questions for a loved one.
Yeah, it's not an easy topic to talk about, but I do think it's an important topic to talk about, and to talk about it before your family, your loved one, or yourself need it. It's good to have those conversations early, so that they don't have to be had in the moment of a high stress environment during a serious medical condition. Having those conversations ahead of time can be incredibly helpful and make that a much smoother process.
When you said early on today, when we were talking this morning, that you're dealing with patients who often can't speak for themselves. I hadn't thought of it in those terms, but that makes what you do that makes these conversations for you that much more important. That families have talked about it.
Absolutely, it always makes it also relieves the burden on the family member responsible for making that decision, so that they aren't having to guess what their loved one would or would not have wanted. Having an opportunity to have that conversation with the person who would be speaking for you if you couldn't speak for yourself really helps relieve that burden. It still doesn't make that decision necessarily easy, but at least they're not doubting whether they made the right or wrong decision because they've had that conversation about what your values and goals were well in advance.
LightUpALife.mwhc.com, the website to find out all kinds of information. Mary Washington Hospice Services, they are nonprofit. If you've heard of music therapy and massage therapy, if you've had family members that have experienced that, it is worthwhile. Dr. Adam Knudsen, thanks so much for coming in, Doctor. We'll look forward to having you back and talk about more of these issues. This was very informative. Thank you.
I'd be happy to come back. Thanks for having me.
LightUpALife.mwhc.com. Thank you for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.